Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, January the 3rd, 2017, and I currently have 6:05 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. We're going to have just some discussions tonight, and then I'm going to have Jeff make a presentation on the durability bond for Lakeshore Trail Subdivision that will be released. So Mr. Caller is going to show up about 20 minutes late, and so Jeff, how about you take some time now and tell us everything, tell the council everything that you can about the durability bond, why it should be released, and all that goes into that.
Mayor and council, I don't have a lot of information for you. The city engineer takes care of the bonds and the dispersals and receiving of those, but what I do understand, we complete the inspection of the infrastructure. We did have a Bowen and Collins engineering group participated with the inspections of the subdivision, and they have given us their letter of compliance that a portion of the subdivision is completed. Council has taken action previously to separate the Lakeshore subdivision into two separate groups and break off the Hunter's Court portion of that subdivision. So all infrastructure not associated with Hunter's Court has been inspected and approved. Punch list was made. They've made the corrections with a couple of minor issues that they have agreed to take care of. Minor meaning a box for a valve or something very insignificant. That being said, the Hunter's Court portion is $80,598.75. That would be the ongoing bond to cover the installation of the infrastructure in just that one small area of the subdivision. The remainder of the bond, $627,975, is being recommended to be released. That would be the initial minus the Hunter's Court, and then we would also at this time release the portion that includes the performance bond for the portion of all areas except Hunter's Court. And then with the submittal of a durability bond, then we would also at this time recommend that they be permitted to go into durability. Sometimes the performance bond is rolled over into the durability bond as it's the same amount, just it'd be different wording. So that's information I was given. I don't have much more other than
This is a fairly routine procedure. It's Mr. Geddes' project, and so it just tells me that they've done a good job as a developer, and they've earned the right to take the durability bond back. So,
correct.
Any questions? This is not council time. It's just work session, so we're discussing it so that the council can be well-versed during our regular council meeting.
Just as the mayor said, I won't be voting, of course. So, and if any questions, my partner Dan Wilson should be here at the council meeting if anyone has any questions. But I did get together with Mr. Bunker, and we've got the separate bonds being prepared by the bank now, so they'll be delivered to the city.
It's good information.
And you said this would be releasing the performance bond, but keeping a durability bond?
Correct.
So maybe you can explain the differences between those two.
So the performance bond is a 20% of the original bond, and that is to account for if the developer was to fail in completing the subdivision as per plan, then that would allow capital or money for the city to go in and find somebody else that could that would do that. So similar to the durability bond, it's 20% of the original, and that is in case something fails within the next 12 months, then there would be monies there for the city to go in and make corrections to whatever it is that fails.
In the event that I would default and say I'm
correct,
not going to fix anything, the city would have the right to go after the bond.
Okay.
Yeah, typically the developer or contractor will take care of their own items that fail, if there are any.
And 12 months is the typical time for a durability bond?
Yes.
Does it ever happen that something would fail after the 12 months?
Oh, yes.
And then what happens?
That's our maintenance program, city maintenance program.
Okay, so now then the liability is on the city.
Yes.
At that point.
It's not... Well, it is. It happens.
It does.
It does happen.
Sidewalks will buckle or fail or will replace.
We had a big deal with Avanu that went on for about 10 years that we finally got resolved. So
we had a big deal on Sugarloaf Drive.
Yeah. We did. Yeah.
That was quite a big deal.
It absolutely does happen.
It does occasionally happen.
Okay. Everything seemed to be put in well, and I was appreciative of the Bowens and Collins inspectors being here to assist us in looking at those. So.
Very good. Well, Mike, sounds like your project's going along well then. So, Mr. Shaw, did you have opportunity to review this? Do you have any thoughts that you want to add?
Mr. Mayor, I did review the materials on this. I'm not sure I have much more to add other than this is very standard protocol. I suppose the one thing I would touch on is that in the event the city were to not require a performance bond on a construction project and the subcontractors were to not get paid or not be treated fairly, then they would have a direct claim against the city.
Right.
So it's important that we follow this protocol.
We take these things seriously.
Yes.
All right. By the way, is there any litigation updates that we need to go into exec session for during work session?
I don't think so today. Did Mr. Hume get a hold of you?
I did.
Okay, great.
And so he and I exchanged emails. That's a nice transition. So I think the council should have probably by tomorrow, maybe the next day, a draft of our response to the Blue Line request. And you have until the 17th is our next meeting, council meeting. You have until then to look it over. I would strongly recommend that if you have questions, deal with them early on, not on the 16th. So we'll be able to deal with any questions that you may have on this. This is an important issue. And so I think tentatively we've got the 8th or so as a date when the Board of Adjustment is going to meet. And the only purpose of their meeting that night is to choose legal representation. So once they've done that, then they're ready to be ready to move forward. Council has our representation. We're ready to move forward as well. So I don't believe that there's any additional items regarding litigation. You'll let us know about the litigation with the Michaelis family.
Yeah.
And then we'll proceed.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I want to talk for a moment about the east-west connector road from Highland. And so I got a letter today from Rob Smith, who's with Alpine School District. He's the assistant superintendent. I will bring up at our meeting on the 17th the resolution in support of this road. I hope that the council will support this. So here's the, I'm going to read to you the letter that Rob Smith presented to myself, Mayor Hatfield, Mayor Thompson, who are the mayors of Highland and American Fork. It says, gentlemen, the attached is a letter. Oh, that's just the intro. Let me actually read the letter to you guys. And this letter is going to Senator Margaret Dayton and Representative Mike Kennedy and the Developmental Center Board. Says the Alpine School District Board of Education urges your support of the proposed Murdoch connector as recommended by Utah County to facilitate overdue and critical transportation improvements in northern Utah County. This important road project will directly reduce traffic congestion while improving safety and access for students and community members. Northern Utah County and Alpine School District have and will continue to experience tremendous growth. The Murdoch Connector, as proposed, will allow students and community members to take a more direct route to and from Lone Peak High School rather than continue to travel congested roads, SR 92 and 700 North and American Fork, at peak travel times. Mayor and City Councils from American Fork, Cedar Hills, and Highland are united in their support of this proposal and have raised this issue multiple times with our board joint meetings. It is our understanding that this road project is the highest priority for the three cities to improve traffic flow and community safety. I believe Utah State Developmental Center and its residents will also benefit from improved traffic flow with positive impacts to land values, safety, and improved response time for emergency measures. This is signed by John Burton, who's the president of Alpine School District, Jody Sundberg, board vice president, Scott Carlson, board member, Mark Clement, board member, Sarah Hacken, board member, Wendy Hart, board member, Paula Hill, board member as well. So this is an important thing for our city. And I certainly would like unanimous support when we do bring this up. I know it's resolutions are non-binding, but this is important with the legislative session around the corner. Then, and I think I brought this to your attention last time, I will do it again, which is last year in December or so, I think maybe it could have been in November, the Developmental Center Board met. They approved a road coming over from Highland to Cedar Hills connecting onto Harvey Boulevard that was constructed and paid for by the county. And then in the legislative session, someone was convinced that the board didn't have the authority to do that, that that was actually the state legislature's responsibility to approve that road. At this point, there's been a complete 180 where it is believed that the Developmental Center absolutely has the right to approve the road. What does require state legislature approval is the sale of property. So the road that would connect to Harvey Boulevard would be constructed by the county. There is another road that is expected to connect to Cedar Hills Drive, but at this point no one knows where the funds are for doing that. And that's why that diagonal type road is not being talked about as being constructed. So really important project. It drives people to our commercial zone, which is very helpful. It allows the high school students to not go on the same congested SR 92 or 700 North every day, morning and afternoon, and create complete congestion and traffic shutdown at that time. So your help would be welcome on this. If any of you know Margaret Dayton, then maybe now would be a good time to make a phone call. I know I will.
She's with the state.
She's a senator. Senator Hemmert represents our area. However, Senator Dayton has had very strong opinions on the developmental center for a long time. And some of them are well-founded. I get that. Is that the board and Senator Dayton want to make sure that the developmental center has enough land because the residents sometimes do escape. And they want to have a buffer between residents, and the canal seems to be that buffer. And there may be fences or other things that are put up. So they want to make sure that there's enough room for the residents. They want to make sure that there's residual money coming back to the developmental center. So that's why they want to lease the commercial area and they'd be outright selling the multifamily, single-family areas and putting that money aside in order to provide for the developmental center for the next 100 years. So that's the good part. She's been concerned about traffic, and this part I don't get, because if the developmental center develops the land like they want to do, they want to monetize it, increased traffic is going to happen. That's the point of this, is that you will have traffic instead that's more diverse at this point. However, traffic will be coming from Highland, traffic will be going from Cedar Hills, and so that is a component of this, is that, so I'm hopeful that that when time comes in the legislative session, nothing untoward will happen, and this will go through, and hopefully we'll get road constructed sometime this summer. I don't have a date of when they're going to start it, though.
So I also understand that their RFQ or RFP on the property is the deadline has come and gone.
I don't think
there have been offers put in on the property, and I think I understood it was the end of last year. So
yeah. So I was in a meeting with a bunch of people regarding this about 2 weeks ago, and as of that point, they weren't even sure if the board had the authority to approve the road. I got an email the next day saying that the board did. So as recently as 2 weeks ago, they weren't even sure whether the board had the authority to do that. They believe they do. And so that will proceed.
Well, if anybody has ever driven North County Boulevard during the period that school goes in and school goes out, you will realize that this is a very needed road.
It is. It is. And so the stronger that each council member can weigh in on this, unanimous support is what I would hope. And so let's hope we get that. Other items we're going to do tonight, Mayor Geddes' time has come to be the mayor pro tem. And then also there is a resolution regarding School Choice Week. This was presented to me by a national school choice group who in favor of this. So I hope you've had a chance to read that. And if you're in favor of it, great. See what else we've got to do. This is the time when I make council assignments. And so I'll be presenting assignments on our next meeting, which is on the 17th. As you guys know, I like to switch things around. I think it makes it a deeper, stronger council for the council assignments to be rotated. And it gives you different perspective on whatever the city's doing, so that whenever we're talking about the 911 news center or public safety or whatever it is, parks and trails, that you've hopefully had a chance to sit on that committee and learn from them and be able to add to the dialogue whenever we talk about these things. So my thoughts going into it this year is that I'm only going to give one assignment per council member, I believe, and allow staff to do more. And so if you have any thoughts in terms of what you're interested in, please email me, let me know what items are of interest. And there may be a wide variety. So I know that on at our first public safety meeting this year, we're going to be discussing whether the bylaw that says that you have to stay on the public safety board forever once you're elected. I'm hoping to change that so that every council member can have an opportunity to serve on there. Daniel's been awesome. He served as vice chair on this, and he's done a really good job. But I think everyone should have an opportunity to serve on all of the boards. So that's where I'm coming from in this, is really trying to strengthen our council and make sure that everyone has a chance to serve. So any questions on that? The only other thing I want to add is, and maybe it was just the holiday time, but please try and be on time to all of these meetings. We've struggled to have quorums for a while, and that shouldn't be. And we do have our off-site training meeting coming up on the 21st of January, Saturday morning. So just make sure you have that in your schedule. That will once again be over at the Highland City Fire Station in the training room upstairs. And got a little bit more time than what we had planned on, but still, I'll give you a big break if people don't have questions. Any questions, anything anybody want to talk about? Okay, then we are going to take a break, and we'll be, if you can be right back in your seats at 5 to 7, we'll be ready to start and go from there. Thank you.